Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? Each winter in Alaska, the common wood frog freezes solid. It quits breathing, and its heart completely stops beating. If you picked them up, they would not move. If you bent one of their legs, it would break off. But when the warm weather returns, its tissues thaw and it miraculously comes back to life. The Alaskan wood frog has even been revived after being frozen for 7 months with temperatures dipping as low as 3 degrees Fahrenheit. These frogsicles can endure multiple freeze and thaw cycles in a season because the fluid in their cells contains high levels of glucose, a natural antifreeze, also known as cryoprotectants, that lower the freezing temperature of tissue. Scientists are interested in learning from these frogs in order to cryopreserve human organs to increase their shelf life for transplants. Reviving organs after freezing them for a short period would enable them to be shipped around the world and save many more lives. Did you know the Bible teaches that God is actually an expert at organ transplants? Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcoming, listening friends, to a new year of Bible questions. You found your way to Bible Answers Live, and if you have a Bible question, we do have some lines open. That number is 800-463-7297. Picking up the phone now with your Bible question is a good opportunity to make sure that it's covered in tonight's Bible study together. One more time, that's 800-463-7297. Are you ready? 800-GOD-SAYS-463-7297 brings your Bible question into the studio. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, friends, and Pastor Doug, Happy New Year to all of our listeners. And Pastor Doug, let's start with a word of prayer. Mm-hmm. Dear Father, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to take a few moments here at the start of a new year and spend time in your Word. Mm-hmm. So we invite your presence, be with those who are listening, wherever they might be, and lead us, Lord, together into a deeper and fuller understanding of Scripture. Mm-hmm. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Doug, you opened the program by talking about the Alaskan wood frog, and it's rather remarkable that this little creature can practically freeze and then unfreeze. And, you know, the point that really stuck out in my mind is that its heart even stops beating during this time period when it's sort of frozen and then comes back to life. So it's like a resurrection.
It is miraculous, and that you can actually look online on YouTube and they show you one of these things covered in ice, you know, ice, and it thaws, and all of a sudden it gives a little quiver and it starts to move again. You know, many animals, when they hibernate, their hearts slow dramatically, but they still beat. But this thing, its blood stops flowing, its heart stops beating, it stops breathing, it looks as dead as a rock. And yet that spark of life is in there. And I don't know if they've ever tested how long they can go in this suspended state, but this would never evolve by accident.
Right.
And then, you know, naturally, the scientists are thinking one of the big challenges they have with transplanting human organs is that they have a very short shelf life. They can cool them and then they ship them very quickly. But they've got just a very small window to get those organs into people once they've been taken out of a body. And if they could figure out what the secret is and put glucose or something in these organs, and it would save a lot of people. And then I started thinking about heart transplants. And that's in the Bible. That's right, friends. God does organ transplant. It says in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will do my judgments and keep them. And of course, this is the new covenant when God really writes his law in our heart. These are metaphors that God uses. Of course, he could give us a new heart. Physically, he's the one who makes the first heart. But it's really talking about an even bigger miracle where the Lord can give you a new heart. Have you ever wished, friend, that you could get a new beginning and be a new person, that all the past mistakes and sins could be forgiven, and that your desires would even be changed? God would give you a new heart, that you would love what's right and hate what's wrong, and he can do that. That's what you call conversion. And we have a special free offer we'd like to make available that will help you in the new year experience a new heart.
We have a book called Three Steps to Heaven. It talks about this change of heart, the miracle of conversion. And friends, we'd be happy to send this to anyone who calls and asks. All you'll have to do is just call our resource line, and the number is 800-835-6747. And you can ask for the book, Three Steps to Heaven. Again, that number is 800-835-6747. You can also read the book online at the Amazing Facts website. Just go to amazingfacts.com and click on the free library link, type in Three Steps to Heaven, and it's all there in a PDF format. You can read the book. So again, you can give us a call if you'd like the hard copy, or you can read it online. Well, Pastor Doug, I think we're ready to go to the phone lines. Our first caller is Nakane, listening from Jamaica. Nakane, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. Now, before we go to your question, you know, Pastor Ross and I are going to be in Jamaica in, what, about 3 weeks?
Yeah, the end of this month.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. Spread the word. And your question.
Yes. I'm curious. Is sexual intimacy appropriate on the Sabbath?
Oh, that's a fair enough question. About the Sabbath, of course, is called a holy day, and it's a special time for communion with God. And there is a verse that says, not doing your own words or seeking your own pleasure. But that's not really saying that things that God has honored and blessed would be wrong. Now, let's think through this for a second. What day of the week did God make man?
The sixth day.
That's right. And woman was made what day?
Sixth day
also, okay. And so what day would be their honeymoon?
Well, naturally, I suppose you could say that is the
day after anyway. It would be really hard for God to say to Adam and Eve on the sixth day, he blessed them, said, be fruitful and multiply, and then on the seventh day, now say, don't touch each other. I think that the typical concept that has come from our culture that there's something dirty about sex and marriage, the Bible actually says the marriage bed is honorable and undefiled. And God created eating, and eating is pleasurable. And God made every good thing for people to eat. And there's nothing wrong with eating. Now, you don't want gluttony on the Sabbath or any day, and in the same way you don't want to abuse any of the gifts that God has given, but I don't see anything in the Bible that teaches that sex within marriage would be something that would be forbidden on any day of the week. There is a passage where Paul says, if a husband and wife agree, and I'm not sure, I think that may be 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Pastor Ross might look that up for me. That if a husband and wife agree to abstain while they're fasting, same way they're abstaining from physical food and pleasure, they're abstaining from sensual or sexual intimacy, that they agree, hey, let's lay this aside. We're going to seek God and fast and pray. That's fine. That's appropriate. Nowhere does it say that the Sabbath day is a day of fasting. For the Jewish people, it was a day of feasting. And so I don't see anything in the Bible that would forbid it. And, you know, I say that by permission and not by commandment, but that's the way I understand the verses.
Okay.
All right, hey, appreciate your call, and tell all your friends that we'll look forward to seeing you in about 3 weeks. We'll be in Mandeville for a week of prayer at the university, and that starts the 21st, I think. And then on the 24th, we're in...
The weekend, well, beginning the 23rd of January, we'll be at the college over there in Mandeville, and then the weekend of the 31st, it's actually Friday evening, the 30th, and then a special full day on the 31st, we're going to be in Jamaica.
Kingston.
Kingston.
Yeah.
Capital over there.
So, yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you. God bless. Spread the word. And who's next in the lineup?
We have Shem listening from Nairobi. Shem, welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for calling all the way in from Africa.
Yes, thank you for all you guys do.
And your question tonight?
Yeah, my question is regarding, the Sabbath. And a lot of people here rely on public transportation to get to places of worship. And I'm wondering what your take is, because there are people who work to get a lot of the Sabbath goers to church. What happens to them? I mean, would it be considered one of the occupations that are necessary,
it's a good question. In Bible times, well, let me back up. In New York City, I grew up in New York City, and I've done meetings there. I think Pastor Ross has probably done meetings there. And very few people can actually afford to own a car because it's so hard to park there. And virtually, especially when the weather's bad, the way to get around is everyone uses a subway or they use a bus. Some people have a bus pass or a subway pass. That's how I got to school growing up. And I'd say, if you have to do that to get to church, that's what it takes. Even in Bible times, suppose that you had, they would gather together to worship. Suppose you had a grandma or a grandpa that had trouble walking. Would you carry them or put them on a donkey and bring them? Yeah. It says let the animals rest. But if the only way that they're going to get there is to be carried or to be brought, then you do what it takes to get people to the presence of God. And it's not perfect. It's not ideal. But I think you just have to do that. Best thing is if you can buy a bus pass or a subway pass ahead of time, so you just wave it and walk on. People use electricity on the Sabbath, and someone's working at the power plant, and people use their telephone service, and someone's working there. I would just do what Jesus said, and let the dead bury the dead. What I mean by that is you don't have to do the work, but if it's the only way, that's the way to do it. What do you think?
Okay.
Pastor Ross, it
makes sense. I agree. The same question sometimes comes up with having to pay a toll on the Sabbath to get to church. And again, if it's possible to buy a pass in advance, great. But there are those occasions where you're unable to do that or that's not available. I think it's important on the Sabbath not to neglect the gathering of yourselves together, as the Bible says.
Yeah. The Lord's reasonable, and things happen sometimes. You might be traveling overseas and a flight's delayed, you just got to do what you got to do. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate your call. Don't get too many calls from Kenya.
We have Rose listening from New York, on Long Island. Rose, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
I have been thinking about this question for a while. The Bible has a long list of sins that it says will prevent us from going to heaven.
Uh-huh.
Now, if Jesus died for our sins, why are we still responsible for those sins?
Well, once you confess and forsake your sins, the Bible says they're forgiven and they're cast in the depths of the sea. So those sins that you've confessed and forsaken, the Bible tells us they're all covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, if we continue to sin willfully, and that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, if we continue to sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, well, then there's no sacrifice for sins. In other words, we can't say, I accept Jesus, thank you for your mercy, and then just continue to deliberately defy God's word. So I don't know, am I answering what you're asking?
But I'm wondering, though, are we able to stop sinning?
Well, let's talk about that. That's a good question. I mean, the closer you get to God, the more aware you become of your sinfulness. And you begin to wonder, even in thought you can sin. Can a person who drinks through the power of God stop drinking? What do you think, Rose?
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
Can a man that maybe beats his wife through the power of Christ get the victory over that?
Yeah.
And the Lord can give a person victory over their diet and maybe bad eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name a sin that God cannot forgive you and save you from?
No.
Then I think our goal is to be as much like Jesus as we can. I don't think in this life any true believer will ever get to the place where they feel like they're perfect.
Right.
But I think our goal is to be Christ-like and he was perfect. So we should seek after that, that Christian perfection. You know, when Jesus saved the woman who was caught in adultery in the temple, he forgave her.
Right.
And many think that may have been Mary Magdalene. And he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, go and try and cut down on your sin or try and sin a little less. And, you know, several times when Jesus healed the person, another man, he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The Lord wants us in every way to turn from sin and turn to him. But the Bible says, if we sin, he doesn't ever make excuse for it. He says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So we should do all we can to live godly lives and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, we have a book. You'll really enjoy this. I totally forgot. We've got a book that is perfect. I read this book once when I was flying by myself. I put the plane on autopilot, read this book, and it was just really inspiring. It's called Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? The title scares people, but it's really a great book. We'll send it to you for free. Anyone who wants it, we'll send you one.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line in the book. Is It Possible to Live Without Sinning? We'll send it to anyone who calls and asks. And also, you can read that for free online at the Amazing Facts website, just amazingfacts.com. We have Montgomery, who is listening from Columbia, South Carolina on XM131. Montgomery, welcome to the program.
Hello, how you doing, sir? Thanks for having me. Appreciate all y'all do.
Thanks for calling.
My question is actually about, I was told recently about the 17 points of the true church, because I'm thinking about joining the church, and I have some Mormon sisters that came by. They come by a lot, actually, and they are very genuine people, and I love what they preach. And they come by, sometimes I feel like they're God-sent, because they come by in times, like, for instance, for example, one day I was having trouble with my faith, and they came by and gave me the Book of Mormon. It just told me to just pick a chapter to read out of the book, and I just happened to pick Ether. And the Book of Ether just happened to be dealing with people having problems with their faith. So I think it was just much more of a coincidence.
Well, what's the question, though? Is it like do you have a Bible question, or are you wondering about the points of joining the church?
The 17 points of the true church. Could you, in your eyes, what is the true church? How do I know if I'm going to the right church?
I'm glad you asked. All right. Well, Montgomery, there are several points. Now, I suppose if you're studying with the Mormons, they're telling you there are 17 points. There are a number of points. Some people might have different numbers in their list of how would you identify the true church. One was you would compare everything that they teach, and it would match up with the Bible. It doesn't say in the Bible it's going to match up with the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon, I believe, is of a suspicious origin. But I know a lot of lovely Mormon people. I'm not trying to be critical, but I don't believe the Book of Mormon is inspired. We actually have a lesson that goes through the points of how would you identify God's church, and we'll send you a free copy of that lesson. Quickly, some of the points talk about, and you find these in Revelation chapter 12. It identifies this woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon, stars above her head, and there's a number of prophecy keys that help us identify when this church would arise and what are the characteristics. But to go through all those right now in a 3-minute answer is not going to be practical. So let me send that to you, and it's free. Please take a look at it and let me know what you think.
The lesson dealing with this, I believe, is called The Bride of Christ. That's
right.
The one that talks about signs for a church, and we'll send that to you, Montgomery. If you just call our resource line, 800-835-6747, you can ask for the study guide called The Bride of Christ. You can also read this online at Amazing Facts, and a very important study and good question. We appreciate your call. Next caller is Kevin, and he's listening from the Bronx, New York. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hi.
I appreciate your calling.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. God bless you both. Thank you for the work you do. I was in Sunday school early this morning, and I asked my instructor a question, And he couldn't answer it. So I immediately thought about you guys. And I said, I couldn't wait to call.
Uh-oh, pressure's on.
Certainly. This is, my question is based on the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer. Taken from Luke 11, 2 through 4, or Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13.
Okay.
And I'll just go to the last verse in Luke, Luke 11:4.
Okay.
It ends in, but deliver us from evil. Now, I know since I was a child, and many people, when we do corporate prayer, we add on, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I was wondering where those last 10 or 12 words, how apropos they are, where did they derive from?
Well,
did not call it by Jesus.
When you see it in Matthew, and he gives the Lord's Prayer, it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That doesn't appear in Luke. But there are ancient manuscripts where that phrase does appear, and it is part of the sacred text.
Where would you say it is now?
Matthew 6, verse 13.
Yeah.
So the rendition of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 includes the line, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and amen. It's somewhat summarized over in Luke, and it doesn't include that final part.
Oh, that's what I had in front of me, Luke, all day. I didn't really get to Matthew. So it is in Matthew.
It is.
It is in well, wonderful. That's
right, and there's slight differences. Huh? You know, Matthew says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I think Luke says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive everyone who trespasses against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. So the wording is a little different between Luke and Matthew, but Luke is getting he's getting the Lord's Prayer through Paul, and there was a couple of variations. Keep in mind, Jesus does not say, repeat this prayer verbatim. What Jesus says, he says, when you pray, pray in this manner. So the Lord's Prayer is an outline for prayer, and so you see variations of it.
You know, we have a book dealing with the subject of prayer. Pastor Doug, you wrote it. It's called Teach Us to Pray, and I'm sure that you take a look at this.
It's based
very
on
important
Lord's
passage.
Prayer.
Yeah, dealing with the principles in the Lord's Prayer. Kevin, we'll be happy to send this to you. All you'll have to do is just give us a call on our resource line. You can ask for the book Teach Us to Pray. The number is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line. And ask for the book Teach Us to Pray. You can also read it for free online by just going to the Amazing Facts website. If you have a Bible question, friends, the number to call here to the studio is 800-463-7297. 800-463-7297. Our next caller is Kyle, listening from Indiana. Kyle, welcome to the program.
Hi,
Kyle. Thanks for calling. Your question tonight.
Is God real?
Well, do you believe that air is real?
Yes.
You can't see it, but you can see what it does when the trees blow and when you breathe. We see evidence for God all around us. Now, an example, and I used to be an atheist, and so I'm just telling you what I thought. You don't ever find organization coming from nothing. If you walk through the desert, let's suppose you're out in the desert by yourself, and you see five rocks, one stacked on top of another, you're going to say, huh, someone came by here and marked a trail, because this doesn't happen by itself. If you're walking through the desert and you see a motorcycle resting on its kickstand out in the middle of the desert, you would not think that that motorcycle somehow over millions of years through wind and rain oozed up out of the sand. You'd know somewhere there was intelligence that engineered this vehicle to be able to ride. And when you look at a human, they're infinitely more complex than three rocks and a motorcycle. all the interworking systems, the organization, the design that is in life, there has to be an intelligence behind it. You don't get all of this interworking systems and design without intelligence. There's nothing in science that shows that happening anywhere else. So the great designer, we believe, is who we call God. And plus we just see his power in the miracles and things that happen. This week, my son lost his wallet. He'd lost it for a week. And we said, well, let's get down and pray. We prayed he'd find his wallet. And then he got the impression to go check his suit pants. And he had already checked it before, and there it was. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we see lots of answers to prayer. So, and that's another reason I believe in God. I've just seen too many miracles happen.
You know, one of the greatest evidences for the existence of God is the Bible. The Bible predicted events that were fulfilled exactly the way the Bible predicted it. And, of course, the Bible reveals to us the Creator, who God is, what is he like, and what has he done to save us. You know, we have a book we'll be happy to send you, Kyle, talking about the Bible. And it's called The Ultimate Resource. We'll send that to you for free if you'd call our resource line. The number is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book, The Ultimate Resource. It's about the Bible. And you can read it for free online at the Amazing Facts website, just amazingfacts.org. You know, Pastor Doug, maybe it would be good just to mention a project that Amazing Facts is working on. It's something that we're hoping to have done the first part of next year, but it's looking at some of the prophecies in the Scripture that point to Christ and how that helps to validate, you know, inspiration of the Bible.
Absolutely. We're looking at this project that's going to be taking approximately 50 of the most amazing prophecies in the Bible and then show how we know scientifically, historically, they were fulfilled. We know they were written, and very specific prophecies that are not the, you know, kind of the squirrely Nostradamus utterances that you never know what exactly it's saying. Very specific prophecies. I was reading one today where it talked about King Josiah was going to be born and exactly what he was going to do and that he would dig up the bones of these false priests and burn them on the altar.
Mentions him by name.
Yeah, a couple hundred years later, he does it. And the guy, the king comes along named Josiah and does those things. So we're going to take 50 of the most amazing prophecies in the Bible and to put them in a DVD that will show everybody that they can trust the Bible is a supernatural book that's real and it will never let them down. And Kyle, make sure and send for that free offer Pastor Ross mentioned, and it'll really encourage your faith. And be watching for that new project on the amazing prophecies of the Bible. You're listening to Bible Answers Live.
As you had mentioned earlier, this is the beginning of a brand new year. And one of my New Year's resolutions is to read through the Bible once again for 2015. And you know, it's a great idea, friends, if you've never done the Amazing Facts Bible School course. It is a great experience, and we have that for free online at a website called Bible Universe. Mm-hmm. And you can actually go and take a look at that, sign up for free, and go through the Amazing Facts 27 lessons.
This would be the best New Year's resolution you've ever made. Well, I can't say that, but it'd be one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it will change your life, I promise you. It's free, so if you're not happy, we'll give you your money back. But all you've got to do is go to BibleUniverse.com. Not only do we have the lessons in English, and they're illustrated, they're very interesting, but they're in Spanish, and they're in about a dozen different languages. And so take a look and do these Bible studies. It'll really be a blessing to you. And it's easy. You do them one at a time, goes through prophecy. You'll know more than many pastors if you complete this series. Stay tuned, friends. There are more Bible questions on the way.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
Welcome back, listening friends, and Happy New Year. If you've just joined us, this is Bible Answers Live, and we're in our 18th year of sharing Bible studies with people around the world. It was fun to have a call tonight from Kenya, Africa, and Jamaica. And you can call in North America by going to 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. We'll bring your Bible question into our studio. Believe it or not, we still have a couple of lines open. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is Sean Ross. And Pastor Doug, I think we're going to go straight to our next caller here. We have Juan listening from Columbus, Ohio. Juan, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Hey, Ross. Hey, Batchelor. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks.
This is my second time calling. I called one time about Revelation 12, and you gave me a good answer. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
My question tonight is about music. The church that I go to, we don't play a lot of big music with big instruments, like the ones I used to go to before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm half Dominican, half Puerto Rican, and like we grew up with very tropical music with salsa and merengue. But now there's Christian music. There's salsa, Christian music, and there's bachata. That's like the hottest thing now.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, even though I cannot listen to that at church, is it okay to listen to that on my ears when I'm working out in the gym or when I'm driving in my car? Even if it's singing about God, is it okay, even though it's got those big Latin instruments? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. Now, some people will probably say, well, Pastor Doug, this is your opinion, but I'm of the opinion that music, forget about the words for a moment, that different kinds of music affect our bodies differently. And some are soothing, some are inspiring, some appeal to the more sensual side, because your body has certain natural rhythms in it, everything from your breathing to your heart. And that you can, just because you have Christian words, doesn't automatically baptize any particular music. And so I think you have to just really ask yourself, is this godly music? Is it biblically inspiring music that God could bless? I know all different cultures, including America, have unique music. Some is good, some would be biblical, and some I think falls in the other category, that is diabolical. Really, it's a question of understanding the principles of what kind of music would Jesus listen to. That's the bottom line. And when you get to know him, you know, I don't see Jesus doing rap to the Psalms of David.
I don't see him doing that.
So, there's a line. Everyone draws the line somewhere different because music seems to be such a subjective issue. I did a series that you can listen to for free. You just go to YouTube and type in Doug Batchelor Music, and I think it'll show up. It's I think there's two parts, the Christian and music, part one and part two, and I do my best. I'm not an expert, but I do my best to try to explain, you know, what I think the principles are. I've seen some other really good programs that preachers have done on music, and where they do a good job explaining what the principles are and how you can know how do you make guidelines as a Christian for the right kind of music to listen to. So, you know, we do have a book at Amazing Facts that talks about Christianity and rock music. I think it's something that we can't give away because it's written by someone else. We sell it at our website. Or you can watch the YouTube for free. Hope that helps a little bit, Juan. Appreciate your calling back.
We have Steve, who is listening from South Dakota, listening on KPGN. Steve, welcome to the program.
Well, hello.
Hi,
this
Steve.
Is like my third or fourth time calling you guys.
Oh, we're glad you called.
Well, yeah, I really get a kick out of you guys. This is kind of complicated, but it's something I've been obsessed with for the last few months is these blood moons, or they call it the tetrad.
Yeah.
They've been landing on these Jewish feast days, you know, Passover, then
right.
Jewish feast day of Tabernacles. Now we got another one coming up on the next Passover, and then we got another one coming up on Tabernacles again in September, I think on the 28th. But in the meantime, we got the solar eclipse where the moon or the sun's going to go dark on Nisan, which is the first day of, I think, the Hebrew calendar, I think they call it.
Right. Now, and, I think, so is your question, do these blood moons, I understand the blood moons and the feast days, do they have any bearing on prophecy or history?
Well, I think the big scare that I've seen is they're talking about our dollar collapsing, or our economy collapsing during these times of these, it has something to do with the Shemitah years. And we're in the seventh Shemitah, and then the year of Jubilee comes in after that.
Yeah. Now, you may not, if you've been kind of studying this and obsessed with it, you may not like my answer, Steve. But I personally, and, you know, I come from a Jewish background, I personally don't think that when the Passover and Jubilee dates line up with a calendar, that you're going to see something political or history or economic that it always marks some kind of disaster. Because God said that the sun and the moon and the, you know, the solar signs, they mark off seasons. They're not marking off history. They use these things to just mark off years and times. And I don't see anything in the Bible where it tells us that when there was a ceremonial new moon or blood moon, that something terrible was going to happen to the nation. They did keep the new moons. At the second coming, when it talks about the moon turning to blood, and the sun going dark and the moon turning to blood, when the sun went dark and the moon turned to blood, it usually indicated that the sky was filled with smoke and it was some kind of judgment or fire or war. And I don't know if you've ever seen a terrible forest fire where the sun is dark and the moon turns bright red when it comes up. That's really talking about that. It's not talking about the cycles of the calendar.
Well, it's I've seen these timelines where these tetrads, these four blood moons, and you know, like in a cycle, where Israel became a nation in 48,
yeah,
and then they had the 6-day war in 67, and the same cycle happened then, and it could be a good thing or a bad thing these guys are saying, but I don't know. I just wanted your opinion on it, and I'm driving my family.
How would this information affect our relationship with Jesus?
Oh, it draws me closer to him. I mean,
why?
Because I feel like the time is short, and it's pressing that, I don't know.
Well, I agree time is short, and prophecy does that for me, but I've never seen where these prophecies are, you know, the big prophecies in the Bible are lining up with the Jewish ceremonial year. Anyway, hey, I appreciate your call, Steve. I don't know if there's a...
You know, I don't know if we have a specific book on that, although there are certain signs that the Bible speaks of that point to the soon coming of Jesus, and we'll be happy to send a lesson that actually deals with some of the signs that are to take place not only in nature, but even amongst various
kingdoms.
Yeah, there
was a day of
nations.
Falling stars and when the sun went dark.
That's right. We have a study guide called The Ultimate Deliverance, and it talks about the second coming of Christ and gives certain signs related to his coming. We'll send that to anyone who calls and asks. Our resource line is 800-835-6747. You can call and ask for the study guide called The Ultimate Deliverance, or read that for free online, or you can sign up for the Amazing Facts Bible School, and you can go through the lessons there as well. We have Gary is listening from Washington. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hello?
You're on the air, Gary.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. My question is on Daniel 12:12, and it's speaking of the 1,335 days. What is that? I know in Daniel it speaks of 2,300 days and other prophecies, but what is the 1,335 days?
You know, there are more time prophecies in Daniel 12 than any other chapter in the Bible. And you've got three time prophecies. You've got a 1260, a 1290, and a 1335.
Yes.
1260, let me just start there real quick. Very interesting number. 1260 days in the Jewish calendar adds up to 3.5 years. In Revelation, it talks about that time period. It calls it 42 months, because in the Jewish calendar, their month had 30 days, so 42 months is exactly 1,260 days. A day in prophecy equaled a year. Jesus taught 1,260 days. The days of Elijah, there was a famine, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. And you can just see that time period in the first book, first chapter of Esther. Says in the third year of the reign of Artaxerxes, he had a feast lasting 180 days. That's 1,260 days. So that is half of 7. 7 is a perfect Bible number. You probably knew that, right?
Yes.
Half of 7 years is 1,260 days. Now that is a time period that began prophetically from 538 AD to 7098 BC, when there was a great persecution of God's people in Europe, being persecuted actually by the church. Now, Pastor Ross might want to dive in here and the 508. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a lot of these time prophecies that we're looking at here, 1,290, and then also the 1335. A number of Bible scholars recognize the starting point for both of these time prophecies to be 508, and the reason being is there was a pagan
AD.
King. AD, yes. Who was converted. His name was Clovis, and he was king of the Franks, and that marked a significant event in the papal power, establishing supremacy a little late in 538. So the date 508 is often used as sort of a starting point for these time periods, and the 1335 then will end in 1843, which is a rather significant time period when the gospel was being preached and the prophecies of Daniel were being studied. And there was a great revival that took place in North America and some other places around the globe that were studying the scriptures. So that's one explanation for these time periods.
So okay. We have a study that talks about right on time that covers, I think it also covers the 490-year prophecy.
That's right, yeah.
Well, we have a study that covers this and some other time prophecies that is fascinating. We'll send you for free. It's got a chart, makes it easy to understand. Hard to do visual on the radio.
Yeah, but the 1335 then is the what? Same as the what?
Well, the starting point is the same for both.
Oh, the starting point.
Right, which is 508.
Okay.
The 1335 then brings you up to 1843.
Oh, okay.
When you have the great revival and the proclamation that was taking place.
So yeah, just call us. We'll be happy to send you that study right on time. I think you can read it for free right now online.
The number to call again is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called Right on Time. We'll be happy to send that to you, Gary, or anyone listening. And friends, if you have a Bible question, the number here to the studio is 800-463-7297. It's a good time to give us a call. Our next call is Taheem, listening from Brooklyn, New York. Taheem, welcome to the program.
Hello, how you doing?
Good night. Well. Evening.
My question is, when I was a baby in faith, right, uh-huh. It was a group of young men in the church who were influencing me in evil. So I left the church, and unfortunately, I left Jesus as well. Mm. So, through the years, you know, I felt the need to get back to Jesus, because that was the one thing that I missed, you know, all the peace and everything, and, you know, the fire that I had. But how do I get that back? That's my question.
Well, the Holy Spirit is probably working on you right now, which is why you called. The promise is, God made a promise. He said, if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And if you're reaching out for the Lord and saying, and you pray, and you say, Lord, I'd like to come back to you right now, he promises to answer that. You probably remember the story or the parable of the prodigal son, Taheem.
Yes.
When that boy just made up his mind to come home and kind of walk away from the pig pen, as soon as his father saw him coming, he ran to meet him and embraced him and unconditionally received him, covered him with his own robe. Christ receives us and covers us with his robe of righteousness. And you just have to say, Lord, I repent of my sins. That boy came home and he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And confess to the Lord. The Bible says confess and repent. Tell him you're sorry. that you've wasted time and years?
I did, but it's like I don't have that. You know that clear. I had a clear, like a clean conscience. Like my whole past, the first time I came was like completely washed away. But now it's like I don't have that clean conscience anymore.
Well, you get it by faith now, and don't be discouraged. You know, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was 12 years old, he went to the temple. Mary and Joseph lost track of him, and because they kind of lost sight of him, it says they spent 3 days sorrowing and searching. Okay. So sometimes we take our eyes off Jesus, and you can spend a few days sorrowing and searching. Don't be discouraged.
Okay. And then, of course, also remember the key to having that peace is faith. Sometimes we want to feel a certain way before we claim the promise that God accepts us and he forgives us if we confess our sins. But whether we feel warm or whether we feel peace or not, we want to claim the promises of God. Claim the scriptures because they're solid and you can hold on to it.
Hey, Tahim, it would be all right if we pray with you right now?
Well, yes.
And my guess is there's other people listening to your question that are asking the same thing in their heart. They've drifted from the Lord. Here we are, 2015. Certainly, everyone's life is a little shorter at this point, and the Lord's coming is a little closer, and you know, every day that we put off repenting of our sin is one more day to repent of, and it's one less day to repent in. And so Jesus says, today if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. It's the best time to come to the Lord. So let me just pray with you and any others that may be also seeking to return to the Lord. Father in heaven, we're just so thankful that you are a loving God and a patient God. Your mercies are everlasting, Lord, and they're new every morning. And I just pray that you'll be with Tahim and others that have said, you know, I've squandered some years. I've lost that first love, and I want to return. Help them find their way back. I pray you'll reveal yourself to them. Help them to believe that you are a God, that when we repent and confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray that you'll just give him that peace once again, that passes understanding, and that he will cling to that new relationship and guard it with all his heart. So please bless him and others. We thank you and ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We do have a study guide that talks about 3 steps to heaven we're offering tonight, and that would be perfect for you, Tahim. I hope you'll ask for it. And then just call 800-835-6747, or you can read it for free online.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line. And again, you can ask for the book, 3 Steps to Heaven. We'll be happy to send that to you, Tahin, or anyone who calls and asks. We have Danny listening from Missouri on XM 131. Danny, welcome to the program.
Good evening, fellas.
Evening.
I'm kind of confused about something, so I'm going to just put it on you.
All right.
I've heard there's 3 theories about the rapture. You got a pre, midterm, and you've got a post. And I've even heard another talk show like this say that there wasn't going to be a rapture, that the Bible doesn't speak of a rapture. The only thing they say of is, you know, when Jesus comes back, you know, at the Battle of Armageddon. So I'm kind of confused. I'd like to know what does the Bible say? What is it going to be?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, Pastor Ross and I, and most Protestants, and actually the church for 2,000 years, believed pretty much the same thing. It's only in the last 100 years these other 2 theories cropped up. What they believed was that when the Lord comes, the dead in Christ will rise and be caught up to meet him in the air. That's based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That happens, though, at the end of a time of trouble. So I guess you would call us the post, meaning post or following this great time of trouble. The Lord comes. We are caught up to meet him in the air. The resurrection takes place. The wicked are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. We go and live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years in the mansions that he's prepared. At the end of the 1,000 years, Revelation says, the new Jerusalem comes down to earth. The Lord creates a new heaven and a new earth. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. They don't inherit the old earth. They inherit the new one, recreated. And so, yes, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Is the rapture a secret? No, absolutely not. The Lord is coming with a shout. Matter of fact, people say, well, it's a secret because he's coming like a thief. Let me read that verse to you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the things that are in it are burned up. So Peter says, when the Lord comes like a thief, the whole world is just going to, it's going to be a meltdown. So that's why we're caught up out of this world at that point. And the dead in Christ rise, they're caught out of this world, because there's going to be devastation and destruction behind. Now, we do have a study guide that talks about the second coming. We'll be happy to send you. And in particular about...
Let me ask you...
Yeah.
Excuse me. Let me ask you something else. Well, you know, these movies come out about, you know, Left Behind, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that means, if I'm understanding this right, that, say, when the trumpet blows and the seals start being opened and...
Seven last plagues, yeah.
We're going to be here.
We are here. Let me ask you a question. You know the story of the Exodus, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and 10 plagues fell on Egypt during that time. Were the Israelites in Egypt when those plagues fell?
Yes, but were they affected?
They were protected.
By the plagues as the Egyptians?
They were protected. We will be protected. It says in Psalm 91, neither will any plague come nigh your dwelling. But it goes on to say, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but only with your eyes will you see the destruction of the wicked. So we are here, but he protects us during that time.
You know, something interesting about those 10 plagues, the first three of the plagues affected not only the Egyptians, but to some degree also the Israelites. Mm-hmm. But the seven last plagues that fell upon Egypt didn't affect any of the Israelites. And Revelation speaks of the seven last plagues, meaning they fall upon the wicked, and they won't fall upon the righteous. They'll be protected during that time.
That's right. That's why Jesus said, he that endures to the end, endures what? The trouble. He will be saved.
We have a book dealing with this. Great, great resource. It's called Anything But Secret. And we'll send this to you, Danny, or anyone who calls and asks. Again, you can read it for free online at Amazing Facts. But the number to call if you'd like to get your own copy is 800-835-6747. And you can ask for the book called Anything But Secret. We're going to try and get one more call in here before we take our the end of the program here. We have Davian listening from England. Davian, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hello. My question is quick. Two questions. Number one is, there's a couple in my church who divorced their first marriage on unbiblical grounds. And then the person remarried. And was accepted back into church without without getting baptized again. Two questions. Number one, should they divorce or should they break up the current marriage to make it right? Number two, should they be rebaptized to make it right with God? They have repented. They never moved away from the church. They kept on coming to church.
Yeah, good question. You know, if a person gets divorced and remarried without biblical grounds, I don't believe they should immediately. It is, you know, a serious sin. If all they have to do is say, look, we're sorry, just running off to get rebaptized sort of minimizes how devastating that is to the culture and the church. There ought to be an appropriate time of repentance where they are separated from church membership. Should they divorce and remarry, or should they divorce one another, that doesn't always work either, because sometimes there's new children. You can find in the Bible where, now if someone is married to two people at once, they should get divorced. But God told David, I mean, he killed Bathsheba's wife and took her as his wife. He didn't tell David, this is a sin, I want you to divorce her now. Well, you can't unscramble scrambled eggs. And so God said he accepted them as husband and wife, and he even gave them another son that became a king in the ancestor of Jesus. But we do have a study that's called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. We'll send you a free copy. I don't think it's online yet, but you can go to the Amazing Facts website and order that. Oh, Pastor Ross, you know, we've got 1 minute. I don't think we're going to be able to fit.
Well, let me give you that phone number. Again, the book is called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. It deals with the subject. Pastor Doug, you wrote the book not too long ago, and it's for free if you'd like to read it online at the Amazing Facts website, or you can call our resource line, 800-835-6747. And ask for the book, and we'll be happy to send it to you.
Well, listening friends, you know, I don't want to insult our next caller by just giving you 50 seconds. So if you don't mind, give us a call again next week. God willing, we'll be together to study his word. And we want to thank you for those of you who are kind enough to send something to help keep Amazing Facts on the air this last year. I don't need to remind you, it's a new year, and we still live week by week by faith in whatever our supporters might send. Entirely listener-supported. God bless you. Don't forget, a lot more information at the website. You can study with us all week long at amazingfacts.org. God bless you. Lord be with you.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前，天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning. And he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in all the Bible. A new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.